look back on our lives, we have funny events and funny stories that we've learned from, and then we have some that are, you know, not so funny, really. And they're all part of our lives. They're all part of who make us, what makes us who we are. But they're also those things that you and I make choices about that turn us into the kind of people we are and who we are. And we get to decide, in large part, who we are, what kind of person we're going to be. And when we look back on our lives and consider who we are, what kind of person will we see there? When we look back, when you look back over your life, what do you see? Who do you see in those years? Were there stories that you'd be happy to find to stand up and tell someone, or things you'd rather sweep under the rug and not let anybody know about? Because you and I, we get to decide. We make choices about who we are. Because of that also, we look for examples, role models, and opportunities of people that we can emulate and imitate and imitate, and people we can learn from, how we can be better people, what kind of choices we should make. This past September, the actor Bill Murray was at the Toronto Film Festival promoting his new film, and the Toronto Film Festival called it Bill Murray Day. So Bill Murray, the actor and comedian, had his own day, and he got to speak on a topic. The topic was how to live a Bill Murray life. How to live a Bill Murray life. And Bill Murray said there are 7 ingredients to living a Bill Murray life. Listen to what they are. This is what he said. If you want to live a Bill Murray kind of life, there's 7 ingredients. First, number 1 is to sing. He said sing and really be into it. Anytime, anywhere, just sing. Second, be honest. Third, always make time for your friends. Number 4, be spontaneous. Number 5, leave yourself open to magical moments. I don't know what that means. Number 6, stay relaxed and success will follow. And number 7, remember that you are you and no one else is. Now, if you're like me, that was not terribly deep, was it? And we could have gotten that from Bill Murray, from Disney, from Oprah. It's pretty much the same package all the time from the world. Feel good about yourself. Be who you are. Laugh, sing, ignore other people, relax and be happy. It's just kind of a set list of, it's all about me. Surely there's more to life than that. When you get to the end of your life, do you want to look back on your life and there you see signposts along the way in which you announce to the world, it's all about me? I want to live for me. I want to relax. I want to do what I want to do. Never mind you. You know what? When I get to the end of my life, God willing, that'll be later than sooner, but when I get to the end of my life, I want to look back and I want to be able to say, I lived for Jesus. I live for Christ. I know that I can't say I live the perfect life. I can't say that. No one can other than Jesus Christ himself. But I can say I made choices along the way in which I decided to live for Christ. We all make choices. And when we look back over our lives, the question this morning is, when you and I look back, what will we see? Who will we be? Well, now today is the day to decide that. Today is the day that you and I get to decide. Maybe it means starting over with God, but we get to decide today the choices we'll make that will shape tomorrow. Whether you're 13 or 83, whether God is giving you 2 more days on this planet or 60 or 70 years still on this planet, this is our time, folks. This is our time, and we get to decide now what the answer will be at the end of our lives when we look back and see how we lived, who we are, and ask the question, what do I see in my life? As we continue in this series on King David, which we will finish up next time, rounding the bend, we find David late in life now, and that's what he's doing. He's reflecting on his life in the passage we'll read this morning. Reflecting on his life, and as David would do when he's reflecting on his life, he writes a song. And the song that we'll look at this morning would eventually become Psalm 18 in the Bible. But right now, it's sort of David's long, rough draft in song form of his reflection on his whole life. Of him looking back and saying, when I look back over my life, this is what I see. And I want to tell you about it. I want to sing about it. I want you to know what I see in my life. It's a lesson for us in what we should want to see, what we want to be remembered for as we look back over our lives. So look with me this morning at 2 Samuel and find chapter 22. 2 Samuel and chapter 22. David will look back over his life, and we're going to just see episodes this morning that we can learn from. But what's instructive, as we've seen all along, what defines David's life is that he was a man after God's own heart. And being a man after God's own heart, we learned early in the story of David, has a specific characteristic. It means looking at the inward person, the character of the person, rather than the outward appearance. That is, as God said of himself, I don't look at the outward appearance, I look at the heart. And for a person to be a man after God's own heart, or a woman after God's own heart, it means that they're more concerned about the character, the inner nature. And we find in the story of David's life that as long as that he kept that principle in play, he looked at the heart, he looked at what God cared about, he looked at his own character, and that's what he cared about, rather than the outward appearances. He did well, and he did well with God. But when he fell into his old sinner self and he looked at the outward appearance of things, that's when he got into trouble, especially when he looked across the rooftops at the outward appearance of Bathsheba. That's what got him in trouble. He neglected his own character, neglected who she might be in character rather than the outward appearance, and that's what he acted on. But whenever he would live as a man concerned about the heart and serving and living as a man after God's own heart, he did well. That's his number one lesson in life. And from that, we can extract how we should live and what we should be able to say. If we answer particular questions about our lives looking back, what should those questions be? What can we learn from King David as he reflects on his life that we should be looking for in our lives, and maybe it'll show us what we need to change in our lives as well. So in 2 Samuel chapter 22, we're going to survey certain pieces of David's song and draw from that questions and answers of what we want to see when we look back over our lives. 2 Samuel chapter 22. Find that and hold your place there. And look with me at four questions we can ask ourselves as we look back over our lives. The first question we should ask, did we praise frequently? When you look back over your life, what will you see in your worship and in your praise? To look at David's life, we see that he praised God frequently. Now by this, as we'll see, David doesn't mean he just showed up. He didn't just go to church. What he means is he focused on the character, the nature of God, and from that, it elicited praise from his heart, and not just occasionally, and not just when the worship leader told him to stand up and praise God. It was a lifestyle. It was a habit of his. 2 Samuel chapter 22 begins with praise. The first verse says, David spoke the words of the song to the Lord on the day the Lord rescued him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. Now that's a sweeping summary to say to us, this song concludes David's life. It summarizes everything that happened to him. And because he was a warrior and a commander and a king, the benchmarks that everything pivots around are battles with enemies and with Saul. So then we learn what these words are. What are the words of this song? What's the song about? Well, verse 2, he said, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my mountain, where I seek refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my refuge, and my Savior. You have saved me from violence. I called to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I was saved from my enemies. He starts his song that way. Now fast forward, look all the way down at verse 50 of chapter 22. He ends the song with praise. Verse 50, therefore I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing about your name. David begins and ends in praise. It's a testimony to his life. His life circulated around praise. It was packaged in praise. And everything that happened in between, he praised God for it, in it, through it, and about it. But understand, this is different for the way we usually approach worship and praise and thanking God is we have a laundry list of things we would like God to do for us, and when he does those things, we thank him. And occasionally, we may praise him. But as David demonstrates, and as the Bible teaches, praising God is not about what he gives us, it's about who he is. We praise God because he's God. And it doesn't matter what's happening in our lives, we can always praise God because he's God. He has shown up for us. He has taken care of us. I love David's illustrations. He is a shield. As a warrior, David knew a shield protected him. He was a fortress. He was a place David would run to in battle to defeat the enemy. He was David's refuge. He was that hiding place. David needed to be alone, to get away, to weep, to cry, to pray. When David was afraid, he would go to God. And he was David's Savior. He rescued David. At the end of his life, David looked back, and he didn't attribute to his own strength and power or military prowess the ability to escape his enemies. He looked to God and said, "You saved me. You saved me. And I got to show up and be part of it." When you look back on your life, what will you see? Will you see the life of a person that paid lip service to worship and praise, occasionally came to church and sang songs because you had to? Will you see the life of a person who attributed their victories and attributed their successes to themselves, and when failures and heartaches would come, they blamed God? Will you see that person? Or when you look back on your life, will you see a life punctuated with praise to God? A person who so was enveloped in a relationship with God that no matter what the circumstances brought, they couldn't help but rise in the morning with praise on their lips, go to sleep at night praising God just because he's there, because he's my God, because he loves me, he cares for me, because he'll see me through this storm, because he raises me to the mountain, because he walks with me through the valleys. He's my God. I've got to praise him. And I want to tell you right now, that is a choice you get to make. And it'll change your relationship with God, your fellowship with God, your perspective on your life. If you turn your life into a life peppered with praise, where all the time you say, "God, I don't understand this, but you're my God, and I praise you, God, for your steadfastness, for your loving kindness, for your grace toward me, for being my refuge in times that I hurt. God, I praise you for it. God, I praise you for being you." So when you look back on your life, what will you see? Did you praise frequently? Second, when you look back on your life, what will you see about your prayers? Did you pray fervently? Did you pray fervently? Next, we see David offering up a prayer for help. Chapter 22 and verse 7, David says, "I called to the Lord in my distress. I called to my God. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry for help reached his ears." You know, even sometimes warriors need help. The word distress means anguish. And notice, he called out to God. It means he cried aloud to God. David knew that even as a king and as a warrior, he would be afraid. He would have anguish in his life. And he looked back on those distressing moments, and what he remembered was his fervent, anguished, passion prayer to God. Prayer is that place which our relationship with God and our trust in God intersect. Prayer is that place, it's those moments if all you can do is cry out to God, you're doing it because you trust God. You're doing it because the God you praise is the God who will take care of you, the God who loves you, and you know it. when you look back on your life and you consider your prayer and your prayer life, what will it look like? Will it be formal prayers? You showed up at the table and because you needed to either impress your kids or appease your spouse, you said grace at the table, and your kids might have been hurting and your spouse might have been in pain or struggling. Maybe the job wasn't going well, but you didn't pause a minute. You didn't rally up and you didn't cry together to God. When you look back on your life, will it be a life that prayer was a formality and maybe an inconvenience? It was just one of those things we do because, well, I go to church, so I also pray on occasion. Or will you look back on your life and your prayers happen when you're in terrible condition, when things are going badly, maybe because by your other decisions, they're going badly, and now you decide it's time to pray and ask God to get you out of this mess? Or will you look back on your life and this is what you see? You see a life punctuated with a conversation with God, wrapped up with God. The Apostle Paul called it praying without ceasing. Now, the Bible doesn't mean by that you go around all day long mumbling prayers out loud. What it means is that your life is wrapped up in your relationship with God, and where it intersects with your trust in God, that's where you live, in that intersection. But in relationship and trust, that's your prayer life. And when hard times do come, it's part of the conversation. You cry out to God, and it's fervent, and it's impassioned. It's not formal all the time. And maybe sometimes your prayer life is quiet and it's subtle, and that's okay. But sometimes your prayer life needs to be noisy, needs to be passionate. It may even need tears. You look back on your life, what will you see in your prayer life? If you're that one who prays fervently, who prays regularly, who loves God and trusts God and your prayer shows it, you're going to see a God who you talked with, a God who communicated with you, a God who helped you in those times. You're going to remember all those strains and difficulties and times that the burden just lifted from your shoulders because you were praying fervently to God and not trying to carry it on your own. You're going to see that place, and you're glad you lived in that place where your relationship and your trust in God intersected. That's where you walked, and that's where you lived. Is that what you'll see? The distinctive difference between a believer in Christ and a person who gives platitudes of how they should live in this world, whether it's Murray or Disney or whomever it is, the distinctive difference is we know we have a relationship with God Almighty. Great is His faithfulness. We can trust Him in all things. We can cry out to Him and we can praise Him, and our lives are wrapped up in those two things because that makes our relationship with God different than what the world has, lacking that relationship. We can trust God and we can pray to God. Put it another way, you get to the end of it all and you look back, do you see a life lived distinctively, differently, because you knew Christ? You had a relationship and you have a relationship with Him, and He's never let you down. You know what I believe? I get to that point, I look back on my life, and that's true of me. You know what I'm going to do just all of a sudden? I think I'm going to be prone to praise God and prone to pray. Because that's part of my relationship with God. That's the first thing David shows us as we open up this song. He reminds us of his praising God at all times. He praises God again. He reminds us that he prayed fervently and passionately to God. And in times of distress, he called out to God because that relationship, that trust was there. And he lived in that intersection between the two. Then third, when you look back on your life, ask this question. Did you practice fidelity? Did you practice fidelity? Another way to put it, looking back on your life, what will your obedience look like? What will your day-to-day, day in and day out, walk with Jesus Christ, your relationship with God, what will that look like? David understands it pivots around obedience. That he can come to the end of his life and he can look at his life And he can say, I was obedient to God and I walked with God every day. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 22. 22:22, David says, For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not turned from my God to wickedness. Indeed, I've kept all his ordinances in mind and I've not disregarded his statutes. I was blameless before him and kept myself from sinning. And David looks at his life and he says, As I look back on my life, this characteristic is true, and I can say it out loud, that I walked with God, that I was obedient to God. But as we read those verses, we might tilt our head a little bit, wonder just a little bit. How is it that David can write in verse 24, I was blameless before him and kept myself from sinning? Really? Because David participated in the world's most famous, instigated the world's most famous sin, the most famous adultery ever.